VoiceRepublic.com, home to the spoken word.
We After Work, the podcast.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Episode von Wir am Feierabend. Ich habe jetzt eigentlich gehofft, dass Jay mitspricht, aber er ist ein bisschen schüchtern, weil, naja, ihr kennt ihn vielleicht schon von unserer letzten Episode von We After Work. It's our British episode.
We After Feierabend.
That's the perfect pronunciation.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry to your listeners. I wish I could speak German, but I just haven't bothered.
Yeah, but he actually looks quite German, like blue eyes, blonde hair, and I'm very happy that he is. He came to visit me here in Lisbon, and yeah.
So many.
The last time we saw each other in Manchester.
Yes, when we had the last podcast, I guess. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
But I was in a photo with everybody in Lisbon when we had lots of drinks and dancing, and I think I looked the most German of everyone.
Yes.
I was with like 10 German people, and I think I looked the most.
You did.
Sort of German. And your friend, Timo, said the same. He said, like, oh, you look the most German of everyone.
You did?
Yeah, yeah, when we were home.
But
yeah.
Why did he say this? Did he say this?
I think I have that sort of like German
vibe. Yes.
But like harshness, like I've got a big nose, I've got really sharp cheekbones. Yeah, like you guys are pretty German people. I'm more like an ugly German, like a big nose, like a really sharp cheekbones.
No, not at all. But before we are telling our dear listeners why you are so German, please can you introduce our drink of the evening?
I can give it my best shot. So we're drinking Estrella water, so that's good. And, oh God.
Speak it out Portuguese style.
I'm going to say crustaceous, because that means seafood, and there's a crab. So I'm guessing, yeah, crustaceous means seafood. No, wait a minute, that's terrible. Jam e regulante, young and fresh, okay. Vino frescante.
So now I can teach you how it is pronounced in Portuguese. Refreshing, young and fresh. So that's actually the drink.
Okay, oh, gorgeous.
It's so cheers too.
It's like a rosé.
It's like a rosé.
Yeah, a very fresh, easy rosé.
Very fresh and easy, and it's like 3:45. Like
it's very early in the morning. Yeah,
for a quarter past.
Quarter to four. Okay.
Here we go, because I'm very tired of the week. It's Friday, and I worked a lot.
It's been a stressful week as well.
It was, yeah. But it was very nice, like the end of the week, hanging out with you, and tell us where we were. Like,
okay, so this is my number one thing. Everybody is so sort of like brave and like forward. Like, it would be impossible for me to move to Lisbon and then meet people and go clubbing with them. Like, and everyone was so comfortable. It was really nice to see. And actually, it was really life-affirming. It was so interesting to see, like, late 20s, early 30s people, like, having fun and getting drinks and being friends, you know, like...
Yeah.
A lot of my life and a lot of the anxiety of my life is like, I'm like, I'm nearly 30. I want to be married. I want to have kids. Yeah. And it's really moving to see people who are like, actually, I want to travel the world, which isn't what necessarily I want to do. Mm-hmm. But it's lovely to be with people my own age because I don't hang around with them.
Yeah. Don't you think like, like this is the interviewing position now, but I also had the feeling, like I talked about this the last podcast, that I sometimes feel like an alien because I have like plans for the future, which also other people, of course, from my company, for example, have, but like I have like serious plans, like, go back on the 31st.
Yeah, I'm going to start then, this. Yeah,
like, my new contract starts on the 1st of August and blah, blah, blah.
But
and
do you think...
This is very serious. I have do the you feeling think they don't think so like that.
Financial? Like, I've never asked you this, and I guess this is a good place to do it. Are you...
Definitely.
Are you rich?
Yeah. No. I don't want to be...
But do you think
I don't want to be dependent on my parents?
But do you think that's why you have to have plans? Like, I've got nothing. Like, I grew up single parent, no dad on the scene, like, proper, like, worried. Mm-hmm. And so I think so much of my anxiety of my life is financial. And I don't get the sense from the people I met who work with you today that that's the same.
Yeah. I mean, why would you live in Portugal, to be honest?
Yeah.
And why would you start to have a job here?
It's beautiful. It's not, like, there's no judgment.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely, no. 100% not. But to be honest, it's like that, like, you earn, like, double the amount in Germany for that job you're doing here in Lisbon, I can tell you, because that's my experience.
Yeah, you continue it.
So the people who are moving here... I know that they're doing this because they're looking for something for their lives.
So
not
you
for
think it's
their
more
salaries.
But don't you think that's quite a privileged position? Like, I couldn't afford to do that.
No, yeah, definitely.
So I think what it is more for people is maybe spiritual more than financial?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
But I personally...
But no one had told us this. Tell us this.
No. Okay.
Because
so,
we met my colleagues today.
No, but it was just an inkling I had because, like, I have no money. So, like, can I tell the podcast listeners about my journey here?
No. Yeah.
Okay, so my flight was cancelled, so I had to book another flight. And Danny was amazing. She booked it all for me. She, like, literally did it all. But it cost me money.
Yes, and a lot of money, actually, because it was on the day
you
booked it.
Much more money than I would usually be able to afford. But I had worked overtime, and I could afford it straight away on my card. Like, you know, it wasn't a question. But I wouldn't have been able to do that 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. I simply wouldn't have had the money. Like, I would have put it on my card, and there would have been no money there. Mm-hmm. And so I did feel... And I was talking to one of your friends today that it seemed to be a place for people who didn't have to worry about that.
Yes, you're right. And it's funny that you are saying this because now I'm thinking about this the first time, really. Mm. I was always thinking people are here because they are looking for something, but they have to afford their, like, they have to pay for their lives. Their rents are so high here, and the salary is so low that people...
And you were saying almost like London rents.
Yeah. Like, I can tell you this now. Like, I have to pay for my rent, like, 560 euros. And I paid for my London rent, 650 euros.
But okay, you live in a crazy place.
Yeah. I live in a crazy place. Okay, you have to say this. Mm-hmm. But it's London still. It's London.
Oh, yeah, we have to be honest.
Yeah.
But I think...
I'm honest.
I think, actually, one of the things I'm learning as I'm navigating the London property market is actually you and I were both dickheads. Because I think if you and I had got a two-bedroom in Kingston, we could have done it for 500 each. Oh, yeah. But we just didn't have the time, and you came later, and actually I think we were so...
You were stressed and
you
needed to find a room.
Exactly. And I just think I chose the first thing. But
of course, you can always find something better. But I know that the the rents here in Lisbon, they are exploding and the salaries are very low. And so therefore, the Portuguese people, they have to move out. They have to move out of the
city. It happened in London with the Russians as well.
Really?
Oh, that's rude for me to say. No judgment to Russians, no offense to Russians. But that's what happened. You know, like, they bought the property and suddenly the London market went up exponentially. You know, when I first moved to London, I lived in a three-bedroom, three-bathroom, three-floor house, £400 a month.
Okay.
And so you can see the difference from my BA to my MA. I worked for 2 years and then I came back and suddenly it was just almost unaffordable.
Interesting.
And
but you had to live on your own still. So that's like what we...
Yes, and I think I'm...
But how could you?
Super... But like being here with you, your shower was impossible to me. Like,
yes.
And I honestly think that's the only thing that matters. Like, I don't care about a bed. I don't care about a kitchen. I think I've got, like, a fetish. Like my shower is so important. That's, like, I feel like if you've got a good shower, you can do anything.
I didn't want to tell you this before. My shower's not the nicest one here.
It's crazy. I was trying to wash my hair, and I was, like, kneeling, and, like, trying to... And I honestly think, like, a good shower is worth 100 quid a month.
So that's what is the most important thing for you to live.
Yeah, which makes me sound like a dickhead, but... No, it's, like, more than a bed. It's so crazy, like... Getting into a nice shower that is above your head and it comes down hot, it's just like, don't you think it's a pleasure?
It is, definitely.
It's just so lovely.
I just think the most important thing for me is just to have a nice bed.
Yeah, you're a sleeper, aren't you?
I'm a sleeper. Yeah. And I'm not a walker.
Yeah, I'm not a sleeper.
I'm a walker.
I'm not a sleeper. I'm a walker. I'm a podcast listener.
You are.
But I'm not... To me, getting up and getting into a good shower, I honestly think I could live in like a box. And I know it sounds crazy, but I listen, like, I can tell you what's happened the last 2 weeks. I went to see Mamma Mia 2. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
I wanted to go with you, but I don't know where there's cinema that would be an English version.
We can see.
Yeah.
Here, there, all the cinemas here in Lisbon, they are, like, English. And just with subtitles and Portuguese.
I think we need to see Mamma Mia, but I think we need to drink a bottle of wine first, because it's crazy. But, like, Cher is so important to me. In a way that I can't really... That very gay, which I don't like to do, you know? Like, I'm not, like... Would you say I'm, like, a... I'm not really, like, a... Like...
You're not the typical, okay, he likes Shea. No.
Yeah, exactly, But she comes in Mamma Mia 2, and I honestly was, like, nearly cried.
But what?
Because it was so, like, weird to see her.
Yeah.
And she sings Fernando, and I've been listening to that in the shower at home. Mm-hmm. It's such a joy. I literally just, like, have a great shower and just, like, put loads of shit in my hair, which I've got no hair, it's all falling out. And then...
That sounds weird.
And I just, like, listen to Cher, and it's just so good. And that's the one thing I've learned.
While showering?
I don't know.
Do you watch Friends in bed? No, just joking. That was actually, like, a question from one of our teachers in MA studies. But, like, what are you doing with songs while showering,
It's almost...
It's interesting, no?
The bed, not so much for me. Like, you know, when I go to bed...
It's a big thing.
You know me. Like, I will be awake before you go to work.
Yes.
Like, I don't... Sleeping to me is stressful in a lot of ways. You could, like, I have literally, like, known you sleep until you have to wake up. Like, you never wake up before the alarm.
Yeah.
I wake up before the alarm, and I see the alarm, and I look at it, and then I wait for it to go.
How many hours do you normally sleep a night?
Oh, something very bad.
No.
More than two, less than five? But I think you have more energy than me, in lots of ways.
I would not say that it depends on the hours you're sleeping, because I know, like, some people, there's just Angela Merkel, for example.
Angela Merkel,
our Bundeskanzlerin from Germany. I heard she just sleeps like almost 4 hours every night, and it's fine for her.
But it's actually not fine, because it's very bad for your body.
Probably.
You know, like, it's actually, your body really needs, because...
Eight hours, probably.
But the thing is, like, when you sleep for 4 hours or 5 hours, you never get to, like, the proper, deep, sleep that helps your body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think, in a weird way, people would describe me as energetic, do you think?
Definitely, you are.
But yeah. But I think it's a very tense energy.
What do you mean?
Like, I am a habitual walker. Like, I walked to your work today.
Yes.
And it would be, I think a lot of people would have just collapsed. You know, like, definitely. I have a very tightly wound...
Yeah, I have to note, your listeners, that to my work, it's like a hill walking up. And everyone who is walking up that hill, they are saying, oh my god, it was so much, I'm sweating, I can't. And Jade just, oh, okay, hi. I just yeah. walk up the hill.
I am a natural walker, but I think in a lot of ways, I was very apprehensive about meeting your friends. And so that gave me a sort of nervous energy. Because I think I am sometimes one of those victims of, like, I'm very prone to thinking people think I'm not very smart. And so I walk into a room and I could tell straight away that there was one person in particular
mm-hmm.
who really thought that I was, like, a stupid person. Do you know who I'm talking about? Glasses, very tall, German.
Yeah.
And so straight away I thought, oh god, I've upset him.
Yeah.
And I couldn't pull the conversation back. And so then, that was to me when I need to go to sleep.
Ah, really?
Because
that's
very...
so interesting. Okay, so that's the thing, like the first, like the topic, first impression of people, and I can say that because I know that person, the tall person with the glasses.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not very secret.
Probably that person.
But I would say him, really got on well, thought he was smart and funny.
But, okay, so that was your first impression. You just thought, okay, that person doesn't like me or that person doesn't think I'm very smart, but... I think he actually did, and he just made jokes about you, and, I would like to know now, because we are talking about first impressions, mm-hmm. what was your first impression of me, and what...
oh my god, I can tell you the story. I can tell you the story, and my sister, my brother, my mum can back this up. I went to Roehampton University.
Yes.
And I was so lonely. But in such a weird way. You know, I had sort of financial troubles. I had to be a waiter for a lot of hours. I didn't have any backing from my parents, but that's no judgment. My mum is the best. We're best friends. I'm not being rude about her, but she didn't give me any money.
Wow.
And so
I didn't know that, okay.
Oh, yeah, I did my whole MA by myself and on my credit card. Like, I had... And I wouldn't have asked my mum. It would have been inappropriate. Like, she didn't have the money to give me. And, you know, I have siblings. And so I was in a really bad place financially. I was working as a waiter and I was working as a librarian. And it's crazy. And I was with two people who properly didn't care about the cause, would you say? You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. I know who.
Yeah. And I was really like, oh, I think I have to I think I don't have to finish this.
Yeah.
Not because I didn't think I was smart enough.
Bad energies.
And I was like the only person in the room who was commenting. So it was so difficult because like they asked a question and nobody answered.
Which is weird when you're just four people in a room and you're the only one like who thinks, okay, maybe I should...
And the silence as well, like, reverberates around. And also, when you talk, you think, oh, I'm taking over the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting, and I was having a cigarette, which I'm trying to quit. It's the worst thing in the world. I'm not supporting cigarette smoking. And I just saw this blonde woman, like an angel. No, it honestly was like that. And I was having a cigarette and I thought, if she walks into the room, I think this is going to work. And this is what I say to you all the time, like, you changed my life. And I was sitting in Roehampton. You go through a room in Queen's Building and there's like big windowsills.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in a windowsill and I could see her and I thought, I've seen her walking around and I have a feeling she's lost. And she came to me.
She's walking like a dumb person.
Yeah, this German woman just marching backwards and forwards. And I was sitting in this windowsill and I was reading probably like Female Gaze or some film academia. Mm-hmm. And she said, is this the MA room? And it was like a light bulb for me. And I always say this to you, it was literally like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is about you and me, but we just have this like weird chemistry.
Definitely, yes. You're just describing and I had like this situation in my mind again, like how everything happened when we met 2 years ago. And it felt like so real, like when you were describing it, because I felt very lost, of course, when I went to London. And yeah. I was already so late because I just finished my BA and I was 2 weeks late. And then I saw you and like one other student from our course, and you were smiling and I thought, okay, like this is the person I think I'm going to be friends with.
Literally after our lesson we went for beer. I think it was so quick.
Definitely.
But that's never happened to me in my life.
I thought, oh, okay, that's a normal thing. But thinking about that afterwards, you just recognized that it was something really special.
It was really special. And I was on the plane. I had a really difficult journey to Lisbon.
Oh, yeah.
I think we just talked about it before. Did we talk about it?
No.
Okay, so my flight was cancelled. I was really worried. I'm not a traveller. I'm very English. I'd rather, like, go on.
I'm a walker. It's not that easy from walking from London to...
Exactly. Like, I'm a walker. I would rather walk around Manchester, walk around Glastonbury. Like, I'm just... In some ways, I find travelling very frightening, which my friend, I was telling you in the taxi, she was... very surprised that I would get a flight to Lisbon.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, you won't do this. It's impossible. And I had a cancelled flight, and then I had to go somewhere, and then Danny had to get me tickets, and actually the travelling to one airport to the other was very difficult.
Mm.
And I got off the plane, and it was like, wasn't it?
Definitely.
It was literally like we had been seen each other the day before, like, and it's so weird.
Yes.
It wasn't even a discussion. I don't think we talked about the flight.
Yeah. No.
It was literally like, here's a beer.
And here we go.
Yeah. It was
the prestige.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 2 years ago. Definitely. It's very weird. I don't think I have
any. Or 2 years ago, or like with Manchester, it was a few months ago. But
yeah.
Like still, like with a few people, even you didn't see them a few days, and then you feel, oh my god, I missed so much in their life. Like, what happened? And oh my god, stress. I can't get a connection to them anymore. Mm. And with us, like having a connection.
It was literally like I ran through the and it was like you were in the thing, and it was like we were in Ealing.
Yeah.
And that's very weird, and I don't think I've ever experienced it before.
Yes, me too.
I know you actually do have more of that because you're more
cosmopolitan,
more Caravaggio. No, you have much more a wider set of friends than me.
Yeah, but still, that doesn't have to mean anything, you know.
But I think friendship, maybe. I think this is interesting for your podcast listeners. Mm-hmm. Friendship is very important to you. It's not for me.
No.
No, I don't. Do you know friends I have? 2 or 3?
Like, no, your best friends you can just count on one hand.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But I don't have the wider rate that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I have my best friends and no one else.
But they are your best friends.
Exactly. And also, I think I'm so close with my family in mm-hmm. such a maybe difficult way. That actually friendship has always been, I want a ride or die. Like, I want a friend who is going to be at my wedding. I'm going to be at their wedding. Like, it's weird for me to think you and I falling out. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really know what you would do to upset me that we would argue.
No. Me neither.
Yeah. So I'm much more like that. But I don't want more friends.
Maybe we have to tell our podcast listeners what we've been doing today.
Because
we didn't get an argue. Meant
nearly no. My phone died. I didn't know where the hell I was. How did you know that I was going to be in the business park? Oh, we should tell podcast listeners first.
So, you start.
Okay, so I am in Lisbon, and Danny was at work, and I have a notoriously dodgy phone. It does really well. It's like a proper good phone until it dies.
Until.
Yeah.
Which is in like a few hours. Mm-hmm. Which is with mine too, but I have like a charger.
Yeah.
Extra charger always.
Yeah. And so I was traveling to a business park where Danny works. I don't want to reveal too many details. And my phone died. And I was properly like shitting. Can I swear?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was properly shitting myself. Like, I had no idea where I was. I was in Lisbon. I'd been travelling all over Lisbon. And I thought, I'm not going to get to a business park. And the only thing I had in my head was a postcode. And I walked up every sort of
Which lane. Is the funny thing that I can just say this. Postcodes, I think they are just so important in London. Mm-hmm. They're not important in Germany or Portugal here, but you remember the
But postcode. And I think that was such an amazing London instinct. Mm-hmm. Was I remembered the postcode.
Very arrogant.
I didn't remember. Yeah, I'm being very arrogant and amazing to be in Londoner. No,
you're right, actually.
But you know, in London, everything is...
About postcodes.
Yeah, yeah. Every placard is a postcode. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that your postcode was a particular thing that I'm going to reveal on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I walked up each row and I worked out that I could get one number, one number, one number, one number. Mm-hmm. And then I was like 20 numbers lower. So I went up a post and then I thought, yeah, and then I worked out where you were. Mm-hmm. But then I honestly don't know how you found me, because I was in your place.
I knew you will arrive around 6:30 and 7. And then I just said to my friends and colleagues there, Jay will arrive probably now. Oh, there he is! I just ran to you.
But it was literally...
It wasn't hard for me.
But my phone died when I was looking for... a particular place. I don't want to reveal your postcode because in case there's some crazy people listening. No judgment to anyone. But I had a particular bus stop to get to.
Yes.
And this particular bus went past it. Uh-huh. And so I saw that and I was actually really lucky because I was looking at every post, every stop. Mm-hmm. And because no one pressed stop, it went... Go for it. This is so boring for your podcast, people. Ask me a more interesting question.
So, it was actually our topic. Like, what did you just do today? And,
okay. So, I'm not a traveler, but I love Eat, Pray, Love.
But you're a walk.
But you know I am. I walked probably, like, 20 miles today.
I just think I just said it the third time.
But I think that's one of the things people would say about me. Like, even in London, I'd rather walk than take a tube.
I know.
I've always been a walker. So, what happened to me today was I walked probably like an hour and a half to a crazy train station. It wasn't the closest. And then I went to the Tower de Belém.
Tower de Belém.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly thought it was boring, but that's absolutely no judgment on the place. That's me. I'm like a writer, so I'm not like a writer, I guess I am a writer. And are. I much prefer like looking at people. Mm. And the building felt dead to me. Yes. I couldn't really get anything from it.
Yeah.
And so
I can say it's not that interesting.
Yeah. So it was very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And what it did do for me was it gave me a view of the bridge, which looks so much like San Francisco. Didn't you think? It's got that beautiful red rust.
They have the same constructors.
Yeah.
From San Diego.
And so I went to San Francisco. And so I walked down to the bridge. And I had a really lovely time. But it felt so contextless to me. Like, I don't think I really got a great sense of what Portugal is. Because so many people were tourists.
Yes.
And I was very lucky and very fortunate that I heard a lot of French. And I could pick up on what they were doing. But I don't feel that I have a great sense of Portugal. It seems to me a patchwork of a lot of
different vibes. But what did you think, like, after meeting all my colleagues? Like, you just said, like,
okay,
you have to be, like, a special person. You have to, like, that was, like, what I thought is so interesting to hear from you, because I always felt like an alien, I just said before.
But you are such a particular person. I told you this story earlier, didn't I, about my mum? Okay, so I guess interesting for the podcast listeners, maybe?
Maybe. You're friends with me.
I had a message on Facebook from Daniela, and it said, can you get tickets? It was, like, so brief. It wasn't even a proper message. Don't you think it was literally like, yeah, it was literally like, can you get tickets to Lisbon? I'm moving there. And I think I even replied,
yeah.
And it was my mum, who has never met you. My sister has, and I think my brother has.
Yeah.
My sister and my brother know Danny.
No, I think your brother,
no. Not my brother. Oh, no, yeah, just
but
my
sister.
My
your sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
My sister and her boyfriend, who, that's an interesting story as well. Because very, very much want Danny and her boyfriend to move to London. And I'm pulling for it. And my sister and my mum were like, I don't think it's a joke. And I was like, what do you mean? You don't know her better than me. And they're like, that seems like a very Danny thing to do. So you're such a particular person. Mm-hmm. And I think your colleagues are as well. It's not, can you imagine me moving to Lisbon for 3 months?
I would think, okay, something particular had happened in your life. Like,
exactly.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah, exactly.
I know, like, you said this to me before, and I know you are, like, you have to have your things, your life, like, in a circle around, like, 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Around you, and that's you. And this is totally fine, and I'd like to, like, sometimes I know people, like, from my work, they'd like to have this life too, and they're looking, I think, for something like this.
Okay.
Because, I think, I would say, because I'm also not, like, 100% like my colleagues. Like, people here in Lisbon, they come to that city to find something, they can afford with their money, like you said before, obviously. But they're looking for something for their life.
And actually,
maybe, I don't know. What do you think? What is your impression?
Actually, that's interesting because, you know, I've had a really difficult time. And I think maybe you don't know this. I have struggled financially, which is not to say that I've not got no money. It's a different thing. I am very cautious financially. Mm-hmm. And always have been. I grew up a Jewish person. I've got that very particular Jewish thing of, like, you have to have savings, you have to have blah, blah, blah. And so, at the time, quitting my job was, like, dying in a weird way. And that's too dramatic. Not at all like dying. But, like, somebody had died and I was trying to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you and your colleagues have ever had that particular feeling. I think you guys wing it in a way that I don't think I could replicate. It worries me. I was worried for you, which is so stupid because I knew you had a job and you were going to make it work. But I was so like, oh, I just wanted to come home, not to Germany, to London, which isn't your home, which was unfair of me as well. And I guess actually unfair of me to try and take control of your life, But I was just like, just get her here and I'm going to look after her and not make her do something crazy and I can get her a nice job. You know, like, and so, but all of you are much more like, how do I do this in the podcast?
Now he's doing a dancing move.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, what happens, happens, guys.
Definitely. And shall I just make I just have the feeling we have so much more to talk about. And since our episodes are just...
Oh God, like are we too, 30, are we going on too long?
35 minutes.
Okay.
I just like to make a pause and maybe do an...
Of course.
I just spontaneously say, I would do like another episode, mm-hmm. like a second episode, teaser to the next one,
of course.
Next week, where you are telling what you specifically thought about my colleagues.
Okay, and, I'm literally going to be Gossip Girl XOXO.
Gossip Girl. And what the truth is from me. I can say some, maybe not too, I don't want to be too openly or something.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
But I can tell like a few things and I think then we can also talk about the escape room.
Oh my God, yeah, we're doing that tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And?
Had we done the escape room on the podcast before?
Yes.
Okay. This is our second escape room. Okay.
Yeah. And before we're heading to the next episode later, Shay, would you like to tell us our song tip?
Oh, okay. My song tip is, and this is going to be such a shit song tip, but it was the 40-year anniversary of the Dolly Parton song Heartbreaker, and it is such a beautiful song. Like, it's so sad and so funny and so interesting and sort of wild. So if you can YouTube it, do. It's 40 years old. Yesterday. Mm. It was the anniversary. Nice. It's a proper country classic.
Very nice song tip. Thank you so much. And let's just make a short pause and then do the second episode, which you can hear next week at
After work, the Iber Fire Arbon. We After Work, the podcast.
VoiceRepublic.com, home to the spoken word.